And then the other item in Enterprise I wanted to bring up, and this, it's Huntington. And what this does is this speaks to when we make an investment in a park, which we've made at Huntington, look at the difference in net revenues. $70,000 more, ice cream, snacks, soft drinks, beer, things like that. When people are visiting, you can just see the top line. That's just how many more people are there.
It's more of a draw.
It's more of a draw, exactly, Commissioner. So that investment is clearly paying off, in addition to the wonderful experience people have who visit there now, because the facility is so much better. So it's not only more profitable, it's also a much better experience for our guests. And then the last one is the nature shops. And, you know, I give you the good and the bad. We're down a bit here. And so I have been talking with the staff, but this is explainable. When you close Hinckley, that hits a big revenue source right there. You're gonna struggle with that. And so Hinckley being closed for rentals has probably cost us anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000. But they've made up for that. And I'm like, wow, you closed that gap. What's going on? E-commerce is up 90% year over year through 9 months, and mobile sales are up $360,000. So as we lose one source of revenue in one location, I want to commend the staff because they're finding other ways to make money, whether it's the truck, whether it's pop-ups, whether it's improving our e-commerce site. So that is actually much better than it would have been if we had just closed Hinckley and kept doing what we're doing. So we found other ways to do things to narrow that gap. And once Hinckley gets open again, this is going to go way through the roof. But it is down right now, and I wanted you to see that, and I wanted to explain why it's down.
We do have a remarkable mark. So we have a lot of intellectual property there, and I think that is an area that I think we could market more, and it helps come time when we have to sing for our breakfast every 10 years.
Yeah, again, Anne Marie and under Kelly's leadership, I mean, they really, you know, they took it personal that, you know, Hinckley was out of service.
Yeah.
And, you know, the swan boats, they you know, helped champion that to come to the zoo. And, you know, I think they're always trying to be very creative. And, you know, while it's, you know, they're looking at, you know, unique numbers this year, it'll be the same next year as well as we're dredging the lake. So I think we're just going to see
a couple years.
But, you know, it's a give-get. So we're investing, and then, you know, we're hoping for the next level of return. But, you know, the advent of the mobile truck and all the things they've done, the e-commerce, the partnership with the zoo, they've really pushed the envelope. So I think the numbers will grow very directly to that.
I wonder what it would cost to get a sort of a professional group in that just does e-commerce and see what they recommendations they would make. Again, for selling our branded.
So we've actually used a couple of different conversations to pull it off, and we used and then implemented. So
okay, tip top.
So commissioners, in close, I would say through 9 months we're in a good spot. I do want you to know that when we point out things, and the staff that are here can attest to it, when I see things, I do drill down with all the different chiefs and department directors about why is this up, why is this down. We're in the midst of budget season right now, so we're doing even more of that as we get ready to bring forward a budget. But I want you to rest assured that we're where we thought we would be. We're not hitting grand slams, but we're steady, profitable, doing a great job in all assets and all efforts that we do. So that's what we have.
Thank you.
I would disagree. I think, you know, golf is hitting a grand slam, Wade, just saying. We will move into the new business. Just as a matter of housekeeping, we did swear in our two police officers, so item A is done. Wade's budget adjustment number 10, because of our level of activity. Wade?
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, you have before you budget adjustment number 10. It's in the amount of $930,922. The detail for that adjustment is on pages 45 through 47. I would point out that the biggest item in the adjustment is $522,500. It's an increase for capital contracts at the lakefront reservation, and this is all covered by two grants, one from ODNR, and the other is a new Sustain Our Great Lakes grant from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. So $522,000 comes from a grant.
Nice. Move to approve.
Congrats.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just hang on 1 second. I don't know that we actually got the second. There we go. Very good. Moving on to request for approval of 2025 rates and user fees. As we normally do going into our October board meeting, establishing these so that we can help set budgets. Wade and the entire Chiefs team have been working on this probably for the last 2 months. So I'll kick it back over to Wade.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, in your packet, you will see the detail of all the rates and user charges starting on page 48. I would say that I've gone through with all of the chiefs and all the managers in painstaking detail. What are our rates and fees for everything that we do? And we factored in inflation, additional costs for transactional processing, sales tax, to say what is the right price compared to market? What is the right price for what it cost us to do something? So you will see all of those detailed for you in pages 48 through 46. Some items, there are modest increases. Some items, there are not. It all depended on what our charges were and what our costs were. But I do want you to know that over the last 2 weeks, again, I'm sure the chiefs and the directors will tell you that I spent a lot of time wanting to know exactly what they anticipate the rates and fees to be and why and what the buildup to that cost was. I would ask your approval of the rates and fees charges.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next item is the increase for Cuyahoga County prisoner holding. The original dates back to 2024. We have organizational alignments with various agencies across Cuyahoga County, but this is specifically for Cuyahoga County prisoner holding downtown. And so the recommended action were over our level of consumption based on the amount of individuals that have been housed there. So the recommended action on page 11 is for the over additional consumption to 100,000.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next eats up a very good part of the agenda, but very, very important. Under Greg's leadership, he has done an excellent job. He's going to walk through a number of the, I would say, unique nuances in the 2024-2025 property and liability insurance coverage. He brought a tie today. This is really good. Greg, you're up.
Thank you. Thanks, Brian. Good morning, commissioners. It's time to buckle our seatbelts for some insurance conversation today. I appreciate you having me and listen to me for a second. Just want to kind of go back just for a second and set the stage a little bit. As you'll recall, last year was an RFP year. So we went out to bid last year. We had one respondent as Jackson Deacon and Associates as the agent, and then Tokyo Marine HCC as our insurer. We're no stranger to them. They've been our partners for years. And actually, Kelly McKeon and Carly Knapp from Jackson Deacon are here today. Say hi, guys. Kelly is the executive vice president at Jackson Deacon. And Carly's our day-to-day account manager, and she does a fantastic job, very efficient and diligent. So we thank them for being our partners. But to dig into where we're at today, it's quite an involved process to get ready for this renewal. We start in February to get to this point, and it's really a total team effort from everyone from finance to IT to police chipping in our fleet operations. But I did want to give a special shout out to Ryan Danker in planning and design. Planning and design and Ryan get all of our building values for us. So we have replacement cost on our insurance coverages. And so we need those building values every year to submit to Jackson Deacon so they can get to our insurer. It's a very, very tedious process. And so we thank him for his efforts. But digging into kind of where we're at today, as you can see, we have an 11% or 11.8% increase this year. Due to several factors, and that's not a surprise, actually. We consider that a modest increase for where the market's at. You know, you hear horror stories of somewhere between 20% increases to 40% increases sometimes. So 11.8% increase is very, very good. We actually forecasted for about a 20% increase this year. So that's very good. Our increases do mainly A, rate increases, right? Insurance rates are going up for everybody. We had about a 6% increase this year. But also, when we look at building values going up, as I mentioned, we have full replacement value on our buildings and keep up with costs, inflation, and those sorts of things. Should we need to rebuild something, we would need to increase costs there. So we increased building values by about 2% this year. But also, when we bring on structures and buildings, right? We build new things, so tropical bears in the zoo, Manakiki buildings, the cart barn, and the management center. or when we acquire property with buildings on it, right? We insure those as well. And then we add vehicles. We added lots of vehicles. You folks were gracious enough to approve those vehicle purchases, and that goes into the increase as well. What it's not due to is losses. Our loss history is very, very good. We don't have very many losses, so our increases are not due to losses. And that's really a asset or a kudos to our staff, our facility managers, our supervisors, our field staff for making sure everything's maintained, everything is safe and clean out there, so we're not seeing those losses.
Just a quick, can you give a ballpark, just the gross asset value that we're covering?
So it depends on what we're looking at. So for buildings, we have almost $500 million in building value, so 500,000. Then we have what we call site structures, which are the other things, playgrounds and those amenities that we have out there. And then we have pedestrian bridges as well. Those are insured as well. So depending on what you're looking at, but the big chunk is our building values, and we have $500 million in building values.
In any sense, like today's number versus 5-10 years ago? Or?
Oh, it's gone up substantially, especially during when we saw the pandemic hit and inflation hit big time. You know, our insurer was asking us increase by 10%, like all those materials to build things were going up. And so
was your question on building values?
Yeah, really, it's a hard asset value.
Correct.
Compared to what we were covering 10 years ago, 5 years ago now.
Correct.
I've gone up pretty significantly.
Correct. If I had to guess, I don't have the number right now, I'd say 10 years ago was probably about $360 million in values. Okay. And now we're up to $500 million.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just curious.
For sure. Yep.
And what roughly were our losses this last year?
We didn't have very many losses. I would say $50,000 in losses. That could be anything from your general liability things, personal injury, yeah, property damage is mostly what we're seeing. We've had some employment related matters as well that we've settled. Unfortunately, we're hit with those, as many other people are, many other businesses and entities are. So those are where we're drawing those in, but our out of pocket expenses are very, very low for those things. That's why we have insurance, so they cover the big amounts, and we get to cover the little.
There's a situation in Shawnee Hills where we had a fire in one of our buildings, yeah, actually, you know, a surge. So, you know, that's kind of an anomaly, to be quite honest, because we go through the building so often. But we think that was directly related to the power being re-energized, and it blew the panel off the wall and sent sparks across the entire building. So that was a pretty unique one for us. I mean, I don't think that's happened in my tenure here.
Not since I've been here. No, I've been here going on 13 years, and we've not had a building lost like that.
And so that was more than $50,000.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. That was $220,000 for the building, plus about $500,000 for the equipment. People don't think about the contents, yeah, and equipment, yeah, that are in those buildings. That was actually more value than the actual building, yeah, itself. You had all those big mowers and the things, mm-hmm, that we need to operate the golf course.
Yeah, so the $50,000 was probably 2023-24 will be a little bit higher because of
for
the
sure
fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We haven't had those costs come in yet for us. Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, thank you. Excellent job. Thank you to the team. We very much appreciate their hard work and help. It is a unique challenge, and it's going to be very challenging going forward. So we're very glad to have our insurance coverage. Thank you, Lake Dam. So again, Jackson Deacon, very, very much a partner. Recommended action falls on the top portion of page 12 all the way through.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The next is professional services agreement, RFQ 6855, Bridge Inspection and Engineering Support Program, 2025 to 2030, bridge inspection. Our team has really kind of pivoted for the last number of years, being eligible for the bridge, municipal bridge fund, working forward towards getting pricing and other projects going, Hawthorne Valley bridge done, Rocky River, and many, many others. So we continue to work forward towards those. Arcadis has been our consultant for a number of years. We feel very comfortable with their firm as most qualified. Recommended action falls in the top portion of page 15.
Move to approve.
Quick question. Is this just inspections, or does it also include repairs?
No, nope, this is an inspection.
Inspections.
Yep.
Okay. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I wish it was all the repairs.
I know. I didn't think it was, but I was, yeah, in reading some of it.
Yeah, no, it's confused. Just, it's the component that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amendment number one, guaranteed maximum price, construction manner at risk. This is RFP 6821-C, Seneca Golf Course Phase 4. This process started quite a number of years ago with the first nine. We did the second nine, the third nine, and now we are working forward towards the last nine. Bruce and Dan will remember, you know, when we originally took this golf course on, we had guaranteed that we would do at least a minimum of 18. But with a number of rounds of golf, you know, we pushed forward on the 27, and now we're going through the last nine with a driving range. There are very few driving ranges actually left, and so we believe that will be very complementary to this. Fusion Golf did do one of the nines for us already. We've done a number of different work with the stormwater and the grading plan. Our irrigation team will fall back through from after Manikiki to roll back into this particular area. This one's a little bit more unique because of the rerouting of a couple of holes that we had to do because of the driving range that we're putting in. And at some point in time in the near future, we'll be looking at rebuilding the clubhouse. It's definitely dated, and it could use a new push. Plus, all of our carts there specifically sit outside, so we want to bring maybe the clubhouse back into the circle and actually create a deck and the carts to go underneath, so that we can keep them in better shape.
Who designs the course?
So Terry Baller has been our designer through the entire consistent part of this. So we had one individual. He also worked on Washington a number of years ago, and David's here. He can speak to, you know, Terry's, I would say, common sense approach and value from a budget standpoint. He does not do irrigation, so we have a separate irrigation consultant that does that. But Terry is one of those individuals that will listen. You know, we had to move, you know, some wetland area, and we got that under a certain number. So he's very amenable to how we need to, you know, bring the product forward. And the first, I would say, 27 has been very, very well received, and this last nine will be just as fantastic.
So he's sort of key, but there's still team contribution.
Oh, when you look at, you know, from David's leadership to the superintendent to, you know, the engineering to the process, there's no stone that's unturned during this entire process. So it's a very big deal for us to have. There are very few 36-hole facilities actually left. And so when you look at events of larger scale, that's why the clubhouse enhancement at some point in time, probably in the next 2 to 3 years, will need to come just because we can't meet capacity there. When we took it over, the counter was as big as this table here, and that's all they really had from amenity. Yeah. We've had to add, David, how many new carts? We started with what? 70. So, and we're hopefully at the point where we're not running out of carts now.
And no more cows out in the pasture.
There are none. No. And again, I think, you know, Bruce and Dan will remember, and for Yvette, we partnered with the city of Brecksville to handle some flooding that was actually impacting the community south of Edgerton Road. We worked to retain some of the water. And so we've had a very good relationship with the municipalities down there as well.
Yeah. Nice.
Recommended action falls on the bottom portion of page 16.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the professional design services contract 1625 Lake Link Irish Town Bend. This dates back a number of years ago, and probably all the way to Paul Alcinas many, many years ago. Some of you remember his name. Wow. But this is one of those projects that has a very long tail. But the work through the CMAC, congestion mitigation and air quality, through NOAACA, who's been a very strong partner of ours, certainly the staging that the Cleveland Port Authority has been doing to make sure that the slope is taken care of. This is our contribution to be able to move the trail and the trail design. Some will remember we just received over a $10 million grant to help take care of the park for the Outdoor Recreation Legacy Program. So this is just this continuation of completing the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Lake Link Trail. And this is the second stage of it. And all the rest has already been complete at this point in time.
So did I read correctly? It's like the change is due to change in bulkheading design. That's had the most significant effect.
Good morning, commissioners. What's before you today is really two-pronged. One is to respond to some of those changes in bulkheading and the final design that the port has reached to stabilize the hillside. The other part is we're actually gearing up for construction here.
Yeah.
So the second component is the construction administration that will be provided.
But the bulkheading is a different
They had to change some grades on the north end of their stabilization. So our engineering needs to respond to that a bit. So.
And this will basically be level, or will there be some undulation to the?
There will be some undulation for about 900 feet. So this is about a 2,200 linear foot long project. For about 900 feet of it, We will be immediately against the riverside with a nice promenade and a trail. We'll actually have a pedestrian area directly along the riverside, and then up from that, about 6-7 feet, we'll then have a cycle track, so we can separate where we'll have slower traffic that's pedestrian-based, and then those on bicycles and maybe a little faster traffic. So the hope here is that we can actually bring on a construction manager at risk to not only build these portions, but the portions that have also been grant-funded as well. So this helps us kind of line up for that.
And then there'll be other connectors, or are we looking primarily at Columbus and Detroit?
There will be other connectors headed up the hill. So there'll be a connector along the new alignment of Franklin, and then there will be a series of trails, and we can bring this back in.
Oh, yeah, I was just curious. But it's going to be really three-dimensional.
It will be, yes, and beyond.
Sean, I don't understand. How much room is there then between the bulkhead and the high and the bicycle track, if you will?
For about a 900-foot-long section in Irish Town Bend, the promenade, you can still ride your bike on the promenade, will be literally at the edge. I mean, within a few feet of the caissons and the bulkhead. So we'll have a nice railing, and you can get almost up to the river's edge at that point.
Okay.
For the other sections, we're going to pull it back from the river's edge a bit, and that's where we'll combine the pedestrian and the bicycle traffic.
Okay, so at the shorter area then, you will only have one trail then there?
That's where we'll have two. We'll have a promenade that it's a wider promenade for pedestrians and bicyclists.
We'll
give the option for bicyclists to be on an upper trail, probably 6-7 feet above the promenade. That will be more of a cycle track.
And is that like 30 feet, or is it short?
Promenade's between 15 to 20 feet wide, and then the bike trail itself will be the standard 10 to 11 foot width.
In addition,
and separate too.
Okay, I see. Now, what responsibility do we as a Metro Park have for the bulkheading? None.
Zero.
Zero, yeah. Yes. And then how about changing the grade? We don't have to do any excavating, do we?
We only have to do very light excavation that's associated with the trail work. But the port, and that's part of the reason for what's in front of you today, the port is basically leaving us the canvas on which to build.
Yeah.
So they do the rough work, we do the finish work.
Correct.
Yeah. And then, so they're going to drain the hill, and it's going to go under the sewage line and all of that, right?
Correct. So they're putting in all the infrastructure for positive drainage of the hillside. I mean, they have found two major seeps in the hillside already.
Yeah.
And so they are handling all of that.
Okay.
This lends itself to, Sean and I, we're going to bring an info item to actually show all the unique components along the way. Yeah. But we did not want to delay another month to be able to
keep
the design moving.
Right.
But
yes,
the help will answer a lot of those questions kind of along the way. So we apologize for the reverse of this. But
so the ask before us is an increase in the design contract.
Correct. With two components, one to gear up for construction and one to make some minor revisions.
Okay. Yeah. And you have an estimated estimated budget, I'm sure, with some reserves or whatever for the full project.
Yes.
You're not supposed to ask those questions.
I know. But right at this point, we believe it's going to be covered by the grant.
It's primarily grant funded. Right now, Cleveland Metro Parks is responsible for a 20% match for the trail portion, which equates to about $800,000. Our plan is to submit for $500,000 of that to the Clean Ohio Trails Program in the 2025 offering.
Awesome.
The goal here is to be under construction in first quarter, second quarter of 26.
Great, thank you.
Sean, for a half a mile, that's a lot of money to put together for a trail, isn't it?
It is, but we also have a different standard of design for Irish Town Bend. That 900 foot of promenade has custom railing, it has concrete, it has benches.
Yeah,
it's not just a trail.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get so close to the river.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's good.
Well, this lends itself to a very good info item, so I look forward to that for the next meeting, because it's going to help, I think, really kind of frame up the things. But
yeah, getting the visual.
Yeah, this also doesn't slow us down from continuing to move things forward. So recommended actions on page 18.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Last one is authorization to submit grant applications and to commit and install and maintain navigational buoys for Huntington Edgewater, Euclid Beach, and Wildwood Parks. This is just a continuation of an opportunity to find alternative funding. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 19.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Vouchers.
That is the last one of those. The award of tabulation and bids fall on the top portion of page 20.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
On favor?
Aye.
Now I have to.
We just have the first one first, vouchers and payroll resolution. Go ahead, Wade.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 42, you'll see resolution 24-10-132 in the amount of $14,078,505.26. All of the vouchers have been reviewed as to their legality and the expenditures conform with the Ohio Revised Code. I would ask your approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
Do I exempt myself here?
The next one.
Yours is the next.
On favor, aye.
Aye.
And then commissioners, you will see resolution 24-10-133 on page 43 in the amount of $1,709.95. All the vouchers have been reviewed as to their legality and the expenditures conform with the Ohio Revised Code. I would ask your approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
On favor?
Aye.
That's the one that you need to.
One time, sorry, I beg your pardon.
You don't count.
Just duly noted that Commissioner Moore abstained from that vote. That is the last of the approvals of the vouchers.
And then we have public comments. We're going to have a 3-minute limit to public comments. Just to keep things sort of going along quickly. Public comments?
Laura Rushing, aye.
Okay.
Good morning. Today I wanted to focus on trailheads. It's a great day to celebrate the Metro Parks investment at one of the country's first major city beautiful parks, the Garfield Reservation, and also the removal of another impairment to the Cuyahoga River and Lake Erie by restoring beach quality. Thank you to the Metro Parks for their part in this effort. I also want to thank the Metro Parks for a clearly identified trailhead to the east side trails and the towpath in the Gateway District in downtown Cleveland. I'm here today to ask that the Metro Parks also prioritize the Metro Health Campus as a major trailhead. There's a great need for the coordination of city and county services on the campus to include moving utilities underground, traffic flow, and a trail connector to support the planned bus rapid transit line for the West 25th corridor. The hospital in a park concept under Dr. Boutros included a less than a mile long towpath trail connector that ran from the historic Riverside Cemetery, which is another National Heritage Area City Beautiful asset, to Scranton, a Longview Drive over Valentine and over the West 14th 71 ramp to Steel Yard Drive. The Cuyahoga County green print now shows an abbreviated trailhead from Valentine. The ramp connecting to Steel Yard Drive is slated for major repairs that will include a pedestrian path on the north side of the ramp. Metro Health needs this access route, not only for staff, but for visitors to the Metro Health campus. Please, please work with the city and county to prioritize this trailhead. I also want to call attention to the transit to trailhead connections along Greater Cleveland's RTA route, the number 19A, also planned for a bus rapid transit route. The 19A travels from downtown from the new Gateway District trailhead along Turney to the Garfield Reservation and to the Bedford Reservation and continues to Maple Heights, where riders can transfer at the Southgate Transit Center to Akron's Metro Transit number 3 that connects to the Summit Bike and Hike Trail at Route 303. It also travels through Macedonia and Cuyahoga Falls to Akron. This is also an access opportunity for major trailheads to the towpath from the Garfield Reservation via the planned Garfield Heights Boulevard connector and in the historic city of Bedford at Tinker's Creek Viaduct Falls. Metro Parks already has an interactive map, maps.clevelandmetroparks.com, and the mobile app can be synced with RTA's interactive RTA.com system map. And I made copies and I'm just going to leave them here that show the map connections. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marty?
Morning. Excuse me.
about this Seneca expansion. Think how much more natural, effective, and inexpensive the stormwater management would have been if you stuck to the original agreement limiting the number of holes. Not to mention the environmental consequences of the fertilizer, herbicide, pesticide, and their ongoing dollar costs. Tree clearing's coming soon. No carbon help there. Gulf's bottom line year-to-date is a whopping 8,000. Going forward, today's 1.1 million will cover Seneca's driving range, but not the additional 9 holes. Gulf taking precedence over nature. In a metro park. Columbus Metro Parks has more land, but only one golf course contributing acreage. You bought Ironwood claiming environmental benefits while promising to keep golf for another 10 years. This in addition to enlarging Seneca. Ironwood's purchase also included equipment. Even if you don't acknowledge the cost of the course, shouldn't the value of equipment be shown? Often budget adjustments such state that an increased cost will be covered by increased revenue or from the general fund. Nice to know which one carried the load. There is decreasing detail in many of the agenda entries. How about showing percent or dollar increase for each insurance contract for clarity? When did the Cuyahoga County jail rates rise for you? How many prisoners at old versus new rate? 75,000 is the new magic number. Hit that, you'll be good. I miss seeing dollar amount for those boy grants being applied for. More areas for goose control, but which areas? Deer exclosure for Millstream, excellent. A mile of fencing to be put where? Next year's user fees and rates no longer highlight changes from prior year. That was easy and helpful. Why are you just now buying equipment for the new ticketing when I thought it was approved last year? How do you justify getting carbon credits for tree protection when you'll be cutting trees elsewhere? A consultant for timber harvesting? Why? Where? Seems questionable. No storm repairs for the marinas or downtown docks? Shouldn't the boat dock damage have been shown even if it was later reimbursed? Have you received that insurance money? These costs predict future needs. Some good stuff going on along the lakefront, but downtown and pro sports and multimillionaires seem to outrank and suck financial resources away from the region's ongoing human needs. Commercial sports were not part of Stinchcomb's vision. The outcome of the Columbus Zoo scandals emphasizes what can go wrong without close attention to detail. You can at least provide us maximum clarity in how funds are being spent. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no other public comments. We have one information briefing item. Harold?
Good morning. For the last 14 years, we've quietly won the North Coast 99 Award. It is an award that 99 employers are chosen every year out of about 350. And basically it honors those that have a great workplace. So 99 are chosen. You don't really know within the 99 unless you're number one, and I'll get to that in a second, whether you're one of the great workplaces. So 350, 99 are chosen. We've done it for the last 14 years straight. Personally, this has given me the opportunity to reinvent myself as a head of HR every year because I compare myself or our department, HR department, to the 99. And so it's not uncommon for me to pilfer things off of these great employers and bring it to Cleveland Metro Parks and rebrand it here over the course of 14 years. But it also allowed me to create or maintain a line of sight for the HR department. So everyone knew where we were going, what direction, everyone was marching in the same, with the same cadence. But the bottom line is that the culture of these 99 employers is what drives the performance. So it's the employees, because they love coming to work, they're engaged when they come to work. And as many of you know that are in business,
if you have a strong culture, it will drive the performance of an organization. You know, if you, you could have the best strategy in the world, but the culture is going to eat that strategy up for lunch if it's not, the employees are not buying into it. So I say all of that, that we're number one in 2024 out of the 99. But before I turn it over to Dan Velasky, I want to introduce, well, you know Dan, he's a familiar face. Lynette Turner is in HR, and they drive the application process every year. So they're the ones from, what, January to April?
Takes a couple months.
Yeah, they drive this process, and we are basically every year trying to reinvent ourselves to get better every year. So Dan, you can take it away.
Morning, Commissioners, guests, and staff, and congratulations, by the way, on your award. So everything Harold said makes it sound like it's just the Human Resource Award. Thank you for yourself. There's no mistake that it comes in the form of a large lithograph, so it doesn't end up on Harold's desk. So it goes forward. We got to share it. I'll show you the picture a little bit where the lithograph goes. Steps in Human Resources. So congratulations. Everybody contributes to this. There are two authors. Lynette takes care of the survey portion where we get input from many dozens of employees, almost 100 employees, and then I take care of the traditional application. So I think Harold did a nice job teeing things up here, but ERC, again, it's a Northeast Ohio company, and they are so great at making great workplaces even better by providing leadership training, consulting, other things. They are the host of this award, and again, they do this every single year. Drives hundreds of different companies to the award process, but only 99 are named winners every year. So what's the application process look like? I just mentioned there's two parts, so seven sections. The key, I think the real key to us getting this award 14 times now, 18 times overall, is what the employees say. So I'd love to stand here and take credit for penning an application, but it's these surveys that go out to the top performers through Lynette, throughout the whole organization, all 10 departments, and then a handful of new hires as well, and their input tells ERC exactly what's going on at Cleveland Metro Parks. Then below that, you'll see the applications split up into six different areas. So, you know, how does this happen? I'll get to that in just a minute or two, but some of the award highlights here that are worth noting, Harold mentioned a couple of them. You're an 18-time winner now here at Cleveland Metro Parks, 14 years in a row under this leadership team. So the application process, the surveys, everything we do is very consistent, and we get better every year. I can tell because that bottom series of bullets tells you that we have the 2024 Award of Excellence winner for having the highest overall score for the large agencies. We did that in 2020, and just 3 years ago, we also got a special category award for the way we onboard and bring our new employees into the organization. So three times in the last 5 years, we've had one of the special recognition awards too, among many hundreds of applicants. So that's worth noting. The scoring benchmarks, we don't see this until after we've been awarded the North Coast 99. But it does for us, it does a couple things. It kind of shows us where we rank compared to the non-winning, you know, companies, hundreds who didn't make it on the list of 99, but it also shows you where you score overall when you're lined up with the other 98 winners of the award. It's a lot on the next screen, but I'll pay, you know, kind of pay attention up here. I want to point out a couple things. The areas where we score highest, should be no surprise. One of our guests just talked about, you know, paths and trails and wellness, but bottom left under employee well-being scores, if you take your eyes off the screen and look out the window, it's my 26,000 acre office. I mean, you can't beat that. Employee well-being is all about fresh air and wellness and encouraging our staff to get involved and move around and try different things. And we're not just held up in one spot all day long. Our DEI score in the bottom right is also very high because our focus here at Cleveland Metro Parks and in the community is on people. So we're going to naturally score quite high there. Areas where we look for ways to improve is probably under total rewards. And I look at that every single year that I do the application. And when I compare what we do to other agencies, it's no surprise we don't score as high because we're government. These are taxpayer dollars. You know, we're decentralized. So if we offer something really special to some employees in this building, something that feels like a cafeteria or something, that isn't available to everybody because we have 19 different parks and 40 some different starting locations. So when I look at total rewards, I think that's a good thing, you know, that we're so decentralized and spread out and doing our jobs different ways, but also that we're, you know, spending taxpayer dollars wisely, and we don't just have bonuses, and we can't send staff members on, you know, 3-day business trips and that sort of thing. So I like where we rank in these different areas. The awards program itself, it culminates in this. It was just last month. On the right, you'll see just some of the guests who were at the two tables that Cleveland Metro Parks had at the awards banquet. Lower left, if anybody has any questions, I do. There's a picture of Brian who's accepting the award. We were a little bit noisy. We had some confetti that other companies didn't have when we received the award. We had some noisemakers. And Brian, what did you bring along there?
Air horn.
That's an air horn. Yes, that was an air horn, kind of draw attention to Cleveland Metro Parks. But he did that for a reason. We were the one agency that received this award in the room that belonged to everybody in the room. So there's a whole bunch of different companies, but we are there, Cleveland Metro Parks. And I feel like when we go to this awards banquet every year, this year was different because we had the special award and we had our CEO have a chance to speak, but we were there on behalf of everybody in the room, not just the Cleveland Metro Parks employees, and that makes it pretty special. So, Brian, thank you for doing that. And he also did it, Brian, if I can put you on the spot, he did a piece with WKYC and a team afterward, and it was just the agencies who scored at the top. We got a chance to share with all of Greater Cleveland what we do best. But would you mind summarizing that just very quickly? Again, I'm putting you on the spot, but I know it was you and a couple other companies that did it. I meant to include it in this because it's important that we share our good news with other agencies.
Yeah, I think, you know, just to be frank, it's this agency. When you look at the sum total of every employee oaring in the right direction, we talk about culture and we talk about those things. But, you know, part of this evening was about, you know, celebrating and being fun. I think one of the things that, you know, if you don't like where you go to work every day, it becomes an extreme challenge for you. And to see, you know, what we get to do with our, you know, 19, 20 million, you know, visitors every day. It's really about the culture of that. And, you know, certainly we're stewards of the taxpayer dollar and we try very hard to live up to expectations. We're going to get to do a ribbon cutting today of Garfield Park that, you know, took us 8 years. I mean, 8 years of hard, fun work. But now when you see this product out there, it's truly, truly remarkable. So Lynette and Dan get to compile these things, but it's the sum total of everyone's work. So I can only say thank you for that.
The Garfield example is exactly why I asked him to speak for a moment. Everything we do impacts everybody. There's no other company that takes this award that has that same that air about it. So thank you for your time today. If there's any questions, Harold, I, Lynette, certainly here to answer those.
There is no old business. The date of the next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, November 21st, and there is no executive session. Motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.